Last week, I shared with you, we read a lot last week. We read, I think, chapter 27 of Acts, did a little background, and then read chapter 27, and then we read chapter 28, part of it. And do you remember what it was about a bit? Yeah, the storm, there was a shipwreck. Paul's on his way to Rome. He's going to appear before Caesar. The Jews wanted to kill him, right? And so he's in Jerusalem, or he's just in Caesarea, this place right on the coast. And, you know, and the guy there, I think it was Felix we talked about. There's Felix and Festus. And they're like, the guy hasn't done anything wrong. And the Jews are like, yeah, we'll just send him back to Jerusalem. Just send him back. We'll ambush him and kill him on the way. They didn't say that, but that's what they were planning on doing. So Paul knows this. So he says, as a Roman citizen, I appeal to Caesar, which automatically means, okay, he gets to go to Rome and appear before Caesar, these fake charges. So we followed him along that journey. We had this map and went up around the coast, and they try to sail to this port, and a storm comes up. Winds come over the Isle of Crete and just blow them right out to sea, and not what they intended at all. And what happens is they end up shipwrecked on this island called Malta. So I was talking about this last week. I'm hoping things will work out here for us this morning. But I'm talking about the Isle of Malta, and I look back in the back corner here, and there's a face peering up at me with a smile from ear to ear, like just listening to this about Malta. I had forgotten that Alyssa and John, John is from Malta. He is a proud Maltese. And so afterwards, John said to me, that was the best sermon I've ever heard you preach. And of course it was, because it was about where he was born and raised, okay, so whatever. And so I had asked him, he showed me a bunch of pictures, and so I said to him during the week, and listen, I said, why don't you just, let's just pop back to Malta for a few minutes this morning and look at some pictures. And so we're hoping to have that. Are we good? We good? Okay, so John, you're going to come up here, and you're going to do some narrating. This will be a few minutes. I told him, take about 5 minutes. He said, I can make it less. I'm like, no, just. So he's been in the place where, like, Paul crashed on the, here, that's for you. He's going to turn you on. I mean, it's going to make your voice go. And so John, just take a few minutes and walk us through these slides. Tell us a bit about, you know, where our story took us last week, the Bay of St. Get there eventually, but you go ahead and...
Okay, so Malta is basically one of, we'll say, four or three islands. We have the mainland on the bottom in green. In the middle is a semi-habited called Comino, and then the top one in pink is called Gozo. There's a very small little island called Firfla, which is uninhabited, and that's... Malta, I would have to say, to drive from here, from Rezabuja, all the way up to the coast, and this main island would take you about maybe 50 minutes, like from here to Toronto. So it's very small. I'd say probably around, population is about 600,000 people, so it's not very big at all. Okay, so next slide.
Go back one.
Oh, yeah.
Can you go back one slide? Okay. Look real fast. I think it's a sign.
No. So basically, the island of Malta is kind of like Gibraltar. It's one big rock. And the buildings of Malta are very, very old. It's kind of like that of Jerusalem, that of, I want to say, the Middle East kind of thing. The language we speak is called Maltese, which is very Arabic. 99.999% of the island is Catholic. So we are very profound, and I mean profound, Christians, most of the buildings, the climate is very warm. In the summertime, it's very hot, and we have period of more rain and period of more dry and arid kind of temperatures or climate. It's a semi-arid kind of climate. There's not a lot of trees. We have quite a bit of cactuses. There's a little bit of farming. In Gozo, there's a lot of wine produced. And Malta is quite big on the Hollywood scene. A few films have been, like Popeye, have been filmed in Malta. It's very big in tourism as well. Our contribution to the Bible is the shipwreck of St. Paul. We refer to Paul as St. Paul. So this gives you an idea of the building. I took that in 2008. That was from my uncle's terrace. And the buildings are quite old. And they're, I think, made largely of concrete. And you can tell it's semi-arid kind of climate. Okay, go ahead. And so we are on the Mediterranean. It's beautiful. There are some beaches that are very, very beautiful. If you ever get a chance to visit Malta, please do so, because you'll have the time of your life, really. It's great. You just have to watch out when you go swimming. You just have to watch out for the jellyfish. That's all. Okay, go ahead. So this is a typical street in Malta. And every parish in the summertime takes turns of having a feast of their patron saint, right? We call that Festa. And so what happens is the church organizes a huge parade. They decorate the streets. Everyone has a great time, lots of fireworks, and it's great. So go ahead. And just another street, decorations they have for the festas, and that's really, really cool. Okay, go ahead. This is my cousin's church, and they've decorated the church. They have their festa in July, and the churches inside are just amazing. I didn't get a chance, but that's okay. if you ever get a chance to go inside any European church, right, the artwork on the walls are circa like 1800s, 1700s, and the way they decorate the churches are just incredible, just incredible. Okay, go ahead. Okay, so one of the churches in Malta, I have a lot of pictures, but because Alyssa said only 5 minutes. Okay, so this is the Mosta Church. So this is kind of a famous church. What had happened was during World War II, this church was packed with parishioners praying for peace. And what had happened, next slide, was World War II bomb went through the ceiling and went right to the floor, but did not go off. Many people believe that that was a miracle of God, right? This is not the bomb itself, but this is a replica, right? The bomb itself was taken away from the Allies. Again, many believe that it was a miracle from God that that happened, right? So, go ahead. So this is another, Alyssa really liked this when we were in Malta. This is called Andina, and this is a small village in the center. It's a huge church, and in Malta, Christ is the center of everything, basically, right? And we formulate our villages around churches, right? And because we're very profound Christians, Christ is everything to us, right? God and Christ is everything to us. Okay, go ahead. And so this is a typical street in Medina. Again, the country is like very, very old. You want to kind of be reminded of more biblical times, right? Which is very interesting. Okay, go ahead. And so that's a view from Medina. Just give you a little bit of an idea of the semi-arid climate. And it's very, very nice in the summertime. I'd say probably in August, the average temperature is probably about 38, 39 degrees Celsius. Very warm, but it can be very cool too as well. So depending if you hit a heat wave or not, right? So go ahead. Which brings us to Craig's sermon last week. So St. Paul was shipwrecked on Malta. And it was believed that St. Paul lived in Malta for 3 months, or around 3 months. And he lived in what we call the catacombs, right? And also, it was believed that a lot of the soldiers in World War II were stationed or lived in the catacombs as well to get away from the Nazis, right? So these are the stairs going from St. Paul's church in a village called Rabat, right? Going down to the catacombs, okay? And this is one of the catacombs. This is the shrine of St. Paul. And you can see the rock, and I really don't know how these people would have done this, right? It's just immense. Even today's day, I don't know how they would have done this. Rock is really heavy and beats me. But anyways, this is very beautiful. And again, this is a shrine of St. Paul. It's believed, I think, St. Paul lived in this one here as well. And go ahead. This is just one of many photographs I took. That's just another part of the catacombs that where St. Paul lived. And go ahead. And just yet another one, right? They have different sections and hallways, and it's kind of like a almost like a puzzle in a way, and leading to the ground level, right? It's quite amazing. Okay, go ahead. The hallway, and it leads to other, and this is all stone. This is all 100% stone, and it just beats me how they would have done this, how they would have taken the rock and brought it up to the surface back in, It just boggles my mind. It really does. Is that it? Oh, and that's it. So that's pretty much it. Okay, 5 minutes. There you go. Okay. All right. All right, 5 minutes.
So St. Paul, there's a place called St. Paul's Bay. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, St. Paul's Bay. That's right. And it was believed, I didn't get a chance to show you a picture, but it was believed that that's where St. Paul and his crew were shipwrecked, right? And it's called St. Paul's Bay.
Yeah, good. Yeah. All right. Have you ever been there?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's like 15 minutes to get through the whole island. So, yeah.
50.
I thought he said 15. I'm like 600,000 people in 15 minutes. It's like, that is Toronto itself. Thank you so much for sharing with us. We read about scripture and we see different places and we go, yeah, that's like, a million miles away and I'll never see it. But it's kind of cool just to have someone who lived there, born there. And so kind of exciting. Thanks for just taking a few moments and sharing with us. This morning is the last Sunday of our series, We Are the Church. By the way, if you want to jump on the notes or on the YouVersion, if you go on to YouVersion, you can download it. It'll show as this app here. If you download it, if you already have it, you already know what you're doing. You can go to YouVersion.com. You can click on... I didn't do it. It wasn't me. You can go down to the More button and Events, and that'll bring you to Pioneer Park Church in the notes. It'll be there for a couple days. You can save the event, and there's a reading plan, a 5-day reading plan at the bottom of that as well. And so today we're just wrapping up our some of the highlights we've been looking at in the book of Acts. And Luke actually started the book of Acts with the apostles receiving a really great promise from Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says this. It says, "But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That's how the book of Acts starts out for us. And as we looked at that, and as this promise unfolded, Luke described for us the creation of the church. First in Jerusalem, and then throughout the Middle East, we saw them moving and migrating to different places, and then in other cities all over Asia and into Europe. And we watched as the church went through crises, There was internal challenges. We've talked about some of them, like when the Gentiles were allowed, I'm just using those words, when the Gentiles were allowed into the faith without becoming Jewish. That was a big deal. There was also pressure from the outside. The Jews were persecuted. The Jews persecuted the Christians because they thought they were false teachers. Pagan idol worshippers persecuted them because the Christians challenged the idea that there were many gods. They said there is only one God revealed through Jesus Christ. Amazingly, through all of that, the church continued to grow through all the internal turmoil and external pressure because they were willing to follow God wherever he led. And now as Luke ends the book of Acts here that we're looking at today, the Apostle Paul continues to carry the good news that Jesus is the Son of God and that he alone is the way that we can live forever in heaven. After surviving a shipwreck on the Isle of Malta, Paul and their group finally make it to Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire and literally the most influential city on the face of the earth at that time. And from this point, the good news about Jesus can literally be spread to the entire world, just like Jesus promised it would back at the beginning of the book of Acts. And I'm going to read the final verses of our look today. They'll be on the screen there. Acts chapter 28, verses 16 to 31. When we arrived in Rome, Paul was permitted to have his own private lodging, though he was guarded by a soldier. 3 days after Paul's arrival, he called together the local Jewish leaders. He said to them, "Brothers, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Roman government, even though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our ancestors. The Romans tried me and wanted to release me because they found no cause for the death sentence. But when the Jewish leaders protested the decision, I felt it necessary to appeal to Caesar. Even though I had no desire to press charges against my own people, I asked you to come here today so we could get acquainted and so I could explain to you that I am bound with this chain because I believe that the hope of Israel, the Messiah, has already come." They replied, we've had no letters from Judea or reports against you from anyone who has come here. But we want to hear what you believe, for the only thing we know about this movement is that it's denounced everywhere. So a time was set, and on that day a large number of people came to Paul's lodging. He explained and testified about the kingdom of God and tried to persuade them about Jesus from the scriptures. Using the law of Moses and the books of the prophets, he spoke to them from morning until evening. "You're welcome." "I'm not going to. I won't be here till evening," but that's what he did. Some were persuaded by the things he said, but others did not believe. And after they had argued back and forth among themselves, they left with this final word from Paul. Paul said, "The Holy Spirit was right when he said to your ancestors," way back here in the Old Testament, "when he said to your ancestors through Isaiah the prophet," this is what he said to Isaiah, "Go and say to this people, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. So I want you to know that this salvation from God has also been offered to the Gentiles, and they will accept it." For the next 2 years, Paul lived in Rome at his own expense. He welcomed all who visited him, boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and no one tried to stop him. And that's it. That's it. That's the end of Acts. Isn't that satisfying? Luke just leaves us there. What was Paul doing? He was like, we're like leading up to this journey to Rome to go before Caesar, and there Paul's under house arrest in Rome waiting for a chance to speak with Caesar. There's no grand finale for us where Paul speaks with the ruler of the Roman Empire. There's no conclusion to this book where Paul's either set free or convicted. What happened? It's kind of anticlimactic, really. In fact, over the years, it's been wondered by many why Luke ends the story there. Some said maybe Luke actually wrote both the book of Luke and Acts as some sort of legal brief to explain who Jesus and Paul were and to present it as maybe a defense at Paul's trial before Caesar. Others have suggested that Luke probably just ended at this point because this was a point in history where he was at the time. And maybe he planned on writing a third volume, you know, a conclusion to the trilogy. But he never did. And Paul stayed in Rome for 2 years preaching about Jesus without anyone trying to stop him, and then the book ends. The book of Acts is awesome, but the ending leaves a little bit to be desired. Because you see, in a story, you expect a conclusion. You want to know what happens to the main characters. Jesus told Paul that he would stand before the emperor of Rome. That's one of the verses we read. You will stand before the emperor of Rome. And our story has been moving to this showdown between the emperor of the known world and the king who sits on the throne of heaven. We've been building to this showdown, and Luke doesn't tell us about it. He doesn't tell us about Paul being released from prison. Happened. He doesn't tell us about the great fire of Rome, which really began the first official persecution of Christians. Happened. He doesn't tell us about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. He doesn't tell us about the death of Peter and Paul. Luke doesn't tell us what happens to the main characters. So this isn't really an ending. This isn't an ending, which is why we need to turn to Acts 29. Now, you won't find an Acts 29 in your Bibles because we are Acts 29. We are Acts 29. You and I are Acts 29. You see, Luke doesn't finish the story because the story of the church isn't finished. We are the conclusion to the book of Acts, if you will. We are part of finishing the story. Peter and Paul are not the main character of the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit is. And that's what we've been looking at. That's what we've been seeing. And he's still working. He is still active in our lives. The truth of the matter is that everyone who is here this morning, who is a Christian, has been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit, God living inside of us. And with that tremendous gift, we've been given the responsibility to talk about Jesus when we have the opportunity. The church, I don't mean this meanly or anything or in any smart way, but the church doesn't simply exist to give us a group of people that we can hang out with on Sunday morning and have a potluck once a month with. I love that. So do you. But that's not why we exist. It's not why we're here. It's not why we should be here. We are called to be an active community of ongoing learners. That's what we're called to be, an active community of ongoing learners, which includes telling others about Jesus and what he's done in our lives and what he can do for them. But you know what happens so often? It happens with Christians, it really does. We hear the words and we hear the message so often, and we're so saturated with all the gospel message stuff that we become used to it. And it gets a little less awesome to us, a little less impacting. Okay, maybe not for anybody here today, but for many Christians. Over time, it becomes just maybe perhaps a little too familiar. And sharing it with others, well, it just doesn't hold the same excitement and urgency maybe as it once did in our lives. It's like when we grew up in Vineland. We lived about a mile, in old-fashioned language, we lived about a mile away from the train tracks, okay? And you could hear when a train went by, the whistle, the rumble, etc., but we were used to it. And it didn't hear it anymore. It didn't affect us. It didn't impact us. But I'll tell you, when relatives or whomever would stay overnight, the question was inevitable. How can you sleep with the train noise? I'm like, are you insane? It's over a mile away. What are you talking about? And so we just got used to it. Patty and I rented a place in our early marriage on a street called Victoria Avenue in Vineland. In our bedroom where we laid our heads, let's say it was right here. Here's our heads. Here's the street. How far? About here. Oh, closer. About here? This is where the transports would go by. Transport trucks here. We slept. Here was our head. And then a wall and a window and then the sidewalk. And then the curb and then this. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay, so that's how close the transport trucks drove by our heads at night. Sure, you heard it. But you got used to it. You really did. You got used to it. And it was insanely close. Like, who does that? It was not really a big deal. It was a big deal, but it was not a big deal. Hardly even notice. Didn't impact us the way it did at first. And you see, sometimes that can happen to us when we're talking about the Bible. You see, sometimes that can happen to us when it comes to God's Word. We've heard it so much. We've heard it so long that we hardly notice. It's not such a big deal anymore. And that is something that we need to be aware of. We need to be aware of that. We need to admit that that happens, unless it doesn't happen to you. But it does to most people. We need to be aware of that, and we need to pray against that happening. And if it's already happened, then just ask God to refresh your heart, to refresh your spirit, because Hebrews 4:12 tells us that God's word is alive and active. God's word is alive and it's active. And I think Luke ended the book of Acts just the way he was meant to, with a word to challenge Christians of all centuries to continue to spread the good news about Jesus. Listen again to those last verses in Acts 28. For the next 2 years, Paul lived in Rome at his own expense. He welcomed all who visited him, boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus, and no one tried to stop him. Maybe it is perfectly fitting that Paul's under house arrest, that he's bound by circumstances that are out of his control, yet still fulfilling his call to tell others about Jesus. It was the call and command of Jesus that Paul was responding to. It didn't matter if he was able to stand before the philosophers of Athens or if he had to speak to the guards that watched him. Paul was going to tell about the fact that Jesus was resurrected and that he could give life to those who were willing to follow him. And I think maybe that's a fitting conclusion for this early church history. Because I think it challenges us that no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we can tell the good news boldly. We can talk about our story. We can talk about our journey of faith. Paul's long gone, but what a legacy he lived. Paul died over 1900 years ago, but the responsibility did not die with him. It lives on today in the same church that's given the same job. And we are the church. You are the church. The same spirit that lived inside Paul lives inside you and me. May I invite you just to pray this week that he would refresh us, that he would revive us, that he would renew us. We are the church, and he's calling us to live lives that are marked by boldness in telling others about who Jesus is and what he's done for us, because John, as you said, it's all about Jesus. He's the center. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that tells us, that talks to us, that challenges us. And Lord, this morning as we come to the end of the book of Acts, and we don't get to see all the ends of the stories that happened and all that kind of stuff, but Lord, I thank you for that idea that we are chapter 29, that the story of your church is not finished, and it is not finished until you come again. And until you come again, you have called all who follow you, all who believe in you, all who claim the name of Christ to be faithful. And part of that faithfulness, Lord, is in telling others, in talking about our story, talking about our faith. Father, I pray that you would, if you need to revive us and refresh us this week, then would you do that? As we wait on you, as we call out to you, would you just renew our spirits? Father, would you give us that fresh and bold, whatever it is inside of us that we need, to be willing to even step out and take a chance. Just take a chance. Father, as you call us to share your love with those around us, we ask it and we thank you. We give you praise. Thank you for this book of Acts that we looked at. I pray we would visit it again in our own personal times of reading. Father, that we continue to see things that you want to teach us. In your name, amen.